Our scripture reading tonight is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the sufferings, so shall we be also of the consolation.
The concept of comfort has come to mean more to me, I think, in the last few days than maybe it did previously. During the last 23 days, 13 of them were spent at the hospital. And I've come to appreciate so much the comfort that is extended by so many of you in so many different ways. It's nice to have four children concerned, grandchildren calling, mother and sister calling, people coming by to visit. And I came to understand the concept of comfort, I think, a little bit better than I had before in a positive way, but I also came to understand it from another angle. Last week, with some information that was given to me by Brother Kelby Smith from Jackson, I visited with a man in the hospital from Huntington. James Harris, I would guess, is about 40. He had a leg amputated. He has no family and evidently no friends, at least no close friends. Brother Kelby had found the situation and he told me about it and suggested I go by. I went by and talked with him. And he indicated that nobody had visited with him except maybe someone like Brother Kelby. I said, "Is there anyone back where you live that you can call?" He said, "No, I don't have anybody." "You have any family?" "I don't have a person." Not a person. Had called. I went into Judy's room and we had literally lined the blind with cards that you had sent. I think she received 80 before she left the hospital and 110 or more now. There wasn't a card in his room. Evidently the phone had not rung. And I sat down and thought, where would I be if I were in his shoes, if I were in his condition? I've never known what it was not to have family and friends. I have had the opportunity to be on the giving end down through life more than the receiving end, and because God has blessed us with good health. And we haven't had really any tragic deaths. We've had deaths, at least no tragic deaths, since Judy's father was killed in an automobile accident just after we married. Most of the comfort involved has been going from us to others. I've tried to be there when there was a funeral, a death, when there was sickness, when there was a problem. And sometimes I guess you have to be on the receiving end to really appreciate it in a way that you cannot otherwise. But I thought, what would it be like not to have a son or a daughter, not to have a grandchild, not to have a mother, a sister, not to have people that I've known in other cities concerned, not to have anybody. And I sat down and really thought about that, what it must be like. I got the man's name and address. I've written the church at Huntington. I'll try to follow up on it. Maybe the Christians at Huntington can do something to show some interest, and maybe there can be some friendship developed, and maybe, and I don't really know the details of the religious background or what the situation is with his soul, but maybe out of this some good can come. But folks, comfort is one of the greatest needs that we have. The passage that Lee read a moment ago includes, if I've counted right, in 5 verses, the word comfort or consolation, which means about the same thing, some 9 times. I thought about just using this passage and talking about the subject because it does talk about the God of comfort. He comforts us. We comfort one another. Talks about the different areas of comfort, and there's a good sermon outline right there in the New Testament in talking about comfort. But I want you to go with me tonight back to the Old Testament, to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And I want us to look at that chapter and just simply sort of outline the chapter because I think it has something to say to us. And I doubt that there's a one in the audience tonight but who has had times in the life and maybe even has times now in some ways that there's a need for comfort. First 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah are basically dealing with negative things about the problems that they were facing. Their plight was tragic. Their destiny was horrible. Their even existence was miserable. They were in many ways turning away from God. Sin had polluted every facet of their lives. They were truly hopeless. And they were in need of comfort. And in the 40th chapter, he seems to sort of change the approach that he's been taking in this book. And he starts the chapter out by saying, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He's dealing with the subject of comfort. Comfort to a people who were experiencing some difficulties and some problems. In the first 2 verses of this chapter, he's sort of pointing out to us that real comfort is offered by a loving God. God had no real reason, from the standpoint of common sense, to continue to be as concerned about his people as he was. And yet because he loved them, even in their difficulty, he was interested in sending comfort. And he says, comfort ye, ye my people. He even calls them his people. The second verse, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort comes from a loving God. Perhaps we have quoted John 3:16 so many times that we tend to overlook its message. For God so loved the world, a world that was in a condition somewhat like the people at the time of Isaiah, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Companion passage is in Romans 5. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, like the folks here, Christ died for us. Now that's comfort from a loving God. And the love that God has for us is the kind of love that is needed. It is an unconditional love. Even when he had to punish his people, even when sin is punished in some ways today because of the consequences of sin, and even when sin brings about the eternal destruction, God will still be loving his people. He may give up on them to a reprobate mind in cases like Romans 1, but as their Father, he will always love them. So the greatest comfort comes from a loving God. As great as we're able to help each other and as much as we're able to help each other, we need to realize where the source of that comfort is. Verses 3 through 8 in this chapter indicate to us that the comfort is assured by a lasting, indestructible word. Notice, for example, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain. A little later in that section, he says in verse 6, all flesh is grass, all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, He's saying when you look at all the things that are around you and try to find what you need in that, it doesn't last. It may be there for a while, may be helpful for a while, it has its place for a while, but it doesn't last. But look at the last statement in verse 8. But the word of our God shall stand forever. That's the same God that said in verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. The word of God stands forever. A little later in the book of Isaiah, this time at 61, verses 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Notice how he's doing that, by preaching the good tidings. Something about the Word of God that can give us comfort and assure us of the great comfort that can come from God. Romans 15:4 is a verse in the New Testament that refers to the Old Testament. Says that the Scripture, the things written aforetime, were written for our learning. And I've used that passage many times to show how principles in the Old Testament are still binding today and still applicable today. But did you ever really listen to what the verse says? The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I think the principle is there that what God said in the Old Testament he meant, and what he said not do he meant, and so forth. But the real message in Romans 15:4 is that from the Scriptures we find patience and comfort. Just to be able to sit down and open up God's Word and read from it brings comfort that cannot be found anywhere else. And I've come to realize, and I've shared this idea with you before, that the best thing that I can do as I begin a funeral service, especially if it is a very difficult situation or a tragic situation, is to read from the Word of God. There have been instances where maybe a mother was just in the greatest of grief. There had been a tragic death. And if I get up and begin to talk, the mother still is overcome with grief, maybe outwardly showing it. But almost without exception, if I stand up and begin reading from the Word of God, passages like the Lord is my shepherd, or passages that say who God is and what he means to us, I've seen time and time again a person be able to bring the grief, at least for a moment, somewhat under control. And I think it's because of the comfort that comes from the Word of God. We may disappoint each other. We may not reach out sometimes with the comfort that we ought to each other. But God will not forsake us. God will not leave us. And we have the assurance in His Word. In the third section of the chapter, verses 9 through 11, we have a metaphor used, one that's really the same as that to which I referred a moment ago, to help us to see what this comfort is all about. He uses the metaphor in verse 11 of a shepherd. And he says he will feed his flock, he will gather his lambs, he will carry them in his bosom, and he will lead those that are with young. I don't think God could have used a better metaphor or a better example to help us understand what he's talking about. Shepherd. How many times have we referred to that 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Especially that passage there, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. He's there to comfort me. The idea of comfort is even in that beloved psalm. Notice again the four things that he says the shepherd does. He feeds the flock, he gathers the lambs, he carries them if necessary, and he gently leads those that may have some additional problems at the time. That's the way God is for us as the God of comfort. And then in verses 12 through 30, we have emphasized what I'm going to suggest, that comfort is delivered by a powerful God. Not only is he capable of promising it, he is capable of delivering it. You have a series of questions beginning there in 12 and 13 that's not unlike the questions God asked Job about Job 38 when he was emphasizing to Job how great God was. He comes on down later in the chapter and verse 22, God is referred to as he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And then in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. When I read that, I think of what Brother Marshall Keeble supposedly said at the time that they were trying to say that God is dead. Someone said, Brother Keeble, have you heard that God is dead? He said, I hadn't even heard that he was sick. God faints not. He is powerful enough. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present. He's all-knowing. The everlasting God. Other things may fail. He's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. If he created us, he ought to know what we need. He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And I believe that passage simply says that you and I fall short of understanding how powerful God is and how great he is and how capable he is of rendering to us that which we need. So not only do we have a God who gives us comfort by love and one who is able to deliver, he is powerful enough to deliver everything that he says he will and to help us. Sometimes we don't understand it. We may not understand it today. We may not understand it completely tomorrow. But he has made the promise that he is powerful enough to deliver it. He has offered it as a loving God. He has assured it by his word, his indestructible word. He's emphasized it by giving us the example of the shepherd. And then he says, God will deliver it because of his power and his ability to do that. Paul said, I'm persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, in 2 Timothy 1:12. You remember the discussion between the ruler and Daniel in the book of Daniel as he was going to be put in the lion's den. Even the ruler said, your God is able to do something about this. When he came back and found that Daniel had been spared, the conversation more or less says from Daniel, God is able. God was able to take care of the needs. And yet many times, and here's where we need to realize something important, God sends his comfort through us. Comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Paul was addressing a group of people who had developed the erroneous idea that if someone died before Christ came, that he would lose his home in heaven. And he discusses the resurrection and things associated with it, and then comes down to that last verse there in chapter 4, comfort one another with these words. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3:2, I sent Timothy to comfort you. He says at Colossians 4 and verse 11, I am comforted by my fellow laborers. And in John 11, when Jesus went to eventually raise Lazarus from the dead, you remember that he first went by to see Mary and Martha to comfort them and found that their friends were there to bring them comfort. God may work through us. It may be a card. It may be a call. It may be a visit. It may be an encouraging word. In time of illness, in time of death, in time of other problems that we have in life, that we are able to be the bearer of the comfort that God gives and help people to understand what that comfort really is, delivered by a powerful God. But he may deliver it sometimes through us as vessels that he can use. Comfort is promised by a wonderful God. It is assured by his indestructible word. It is emphasized by the metaphor of the shepherd. It is delivered by a powerful God who is capable. And then I think in verse 31, there is something that we need to understand. And that is that God's comfort should be received and used by us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The comfort of God is really the wind beneath our wings. Some of you are familiar with that beautiful song. For one says to another, "You are the wind beneath my wings," and sometimes we are that in a sense, but the comfort of God is the real wind beneath our wings. And when we are able to realize that we need Him, that we need His help, and we need His comfort, receive that comfort, receive the help that comes from Him, receive the help that comes through others from Him, He says it will renew our strength. We can mount up like wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. The greatest comfort that can be found anywhere is from God. I don't understand how people meet the difficulties of life without God and His people. What a wonderful blessing it is for us to have that kind of comfort from God and from one another. We need to learn to depend on it. We need to learn to accept it. We need to learn to let it lift us up as eagles to where we can overcome weariness and fainting in the spiritual sense. My friend, if you don't have God with you, how are you making it? If you don't have the comfort that comes from God when you have difficulties in life, how are you meeting them? There's just something there in the comfort that comes from God that cannot be found anywhere else. And you can have it. And I can have it. By being Christians. By living for Him. If you need to show your penitence and faith by being baptized into Christ tonight, or to show your penitence and desire to make things right as a child of God by coming and confessing and asking for prayers, we encourage you to receive and to use the comfort that comes only from God. If you need to come as together we stand and sing, please do that.